we're starting off, we started a new series last week called My Hot Mess, and My Hot Mess is awesome because we're all kind of messy people. Do you know any messy people in your life? I know a lot of messy people, right? And as I kind of said last week, if the person next to you or you're not raising your hand about having a messy person, it's probably because you are the messy person in your life, and so you just want to kind of like take that with a grain of salt. We love it. You know, Jesus came to die for us and to die, and we're a hot mess sometimes, and we... what we talked about, we introduced what do we do with that? What do we do with all of our problems? You know, because you may be a hot mess. You may have a financial hot mess. You may have like a lifestyle hot mess. You may have a spouse that's a hot mess. Your kids are probably hot messes. They're probably being a hot mess right now in the kids department. And you're just like, oh, the reason I come to church is for free babysitting for a full 45 minutes for an hour. And that's fine. We love our kids. But what do we do with this? We introduced this concept of grace last week. The reason we're talking about grace is because majority of the church people, I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about all believers across the world, really don't know what grace is, because if we grasp the concept of what grace was, we would live our lives incredibly different, right? And we also said, you know, so we said, what is grace? Grace is the unmerited, right? You cannot earn grace. You can't earn it from God. It's the free, unmerited favor and blessings that come from God, right? And we see that majority of the time in salvation. You know, like, why would Jesus come? For God so loved the world, right? He loved you first, and then he gave, right? That's how he gave. And you can't love somebody without giving, right? You can give something to somebody and not really love them, but if you really genuinely love something, you're going to find yourself being a generous person and giving to that person. And for God so loved the world, and we're going to be kind of talking about John 3:16 for a moment. We're going to be talking about 17, and what's really cool about these two verses, right, is that we've read them our entire lives, but we've never really read, like, as to why they were being said at that time, at that place, and to who. And we're going to kind of dig into that a little bit today, but we're talking about grace. Grace is the free, unmerited favor of God to you and blessings for no good reason other than he created you and he loved you. The problem with believers, right, the Christian church, is that we charge for grace, right? We say that, you know, we want to extend grace to our friends and our family and the community, but in fact, we charge for it all the time. Well, Ryan, what do you mean by that? I mean, if I say, you know what, you can have some grace, you can have forgiveness, right? I'm going to give you some forgiveness, I'm going to give you some grace if you'll apologize. Okay, so you're having to pay for that a little bit. You're having to apologize first, and then you get the grace. Well, that's not what grace is. You know, and we say the word grace, and we say the word mercy, and we really don't know the difference between the two. So we've been investigating a little bit last week on what is grace. And so last week we spoke about God, you know, us giving grace to other people. When you realize somebody else's hot mess, right, it's really easy to see everybody else's problems, right? You can agree with me on that. It's super easy to point out other people's problems, right? We don't want to point out our own problems. We just want to be justified and compromised in the process. But here's the thing, and this is kind of one of the main thoughts that we left with last week, is if you see a person, right, if you see a person who is a hot mess, that is God giving you an opportunity to respond to him. Because you now have an opportunity to show grace where it's easier to not. So how we respond to people's hot messes is ultimately how we're responding to God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus came to die for three reasons, right? We only end up talking about one as a church in America. But Jesus came to show us who the Father was, right? To come and debunk misconceptions about who God was. Then he came and showed us about how to treat other people. And then he came to be our substitute. A lot of the times, we as believers, we kind of like go about our lives, and we say that we're in church, and we say that we're serving, but we really don't have any understanding of what it is that Jesus came to do. And so our entire Christmas series was like, who was Jesus? And so we're going to be diving into this today. Grace is the unmerited favor and blessings from God. We as Christians have a tendency of charging for it, but let's define for those of us who are here. And before you leave, if you didn't make it last week, that's totally awesome. First of all, we have an app. We have an app. We have a church app that has our notes on it. Let's throw that up just real quickly. That was my fault for going past that a little bit fast. There are three steps of getting the app. You can download that to your phone. It's totally free. And within that are church notes, and you can go to that. And so as we're defining what a hot mess is, let's define what a hot mess is for those of us that missed last week. And if you missed last week, we gave away these bracelets, right? And we're not going to show any grace. You can't have one if you just showed up today. I'm totally kidding, right? They're in the back. Make sure you grab one on your way out. And it's just, it's a nice reminder to show some grace today. But what is a hot mess? A hot mess is an attractive disaster that remains somewhat functional. Okay? And I think we can all relate to that just a little bit. A hot mess is an attractive disaster that remains somewhat functional. And the undertone verse that we're kind of going to be drawing from, that we're always going to be referencing, is 1 Corinthians 15:10 from the New Living Translation. And I want to read that to you now. And I'll kind of unpack this thought just a little bit. But whatever I am now, right? And I just want to be very upfront with you, because this is actually really encouraging. No matter where you are right now, you're here and you're in this chair. And you may say to yourself, you know what? I'm not where I want to be at all. I've got so much to work on. I've got such a hot mess in my past. It's messing up my present. And because I'm not addressing my present, it's definitely messing up my future. And I just don't have anything to give. I don't have anything to offer. I don't really know what's going on in my life. Listen, you're here. And this verse is about grace, and it was written for you today sitting in our great chairs, right? But whatever I am now, whatever the case may be, right? Let's just put that aside. Whatever it is, whether it's good or whether it's bad, you're still here because God has poured out his favor on you. That's great, right? So what are we talking about? We're talking about that favor, the unmerited favor and blessings from God is in fact called grace. But wherever I'm at now, sitting in this great chair or driving my car or coming from that one job or going to the new job, I know that I'm here today with a purpose because God has poured out his special, unique favor on me. And it's not without results, right? You have something to show for it. You have absolutely to show for it. And now you may say to yourself, well, listen, Ryan, I've worked harder than everybody else to get where I am today. That's great. And this verse addresses this a little bit. If you've worked really hard in your life, that's wonderful, but you're still only where you're at today because God has allowed you to be there. So this is what we're talking about. You know, here we got Paul. For I've worked harder than any other person, or any other apostle, right? But yet, even in all my hard work, even in all the money I may have, or all the money I may not have, or all the generosity I have, or all the things that I do and I don't, whatever the stuff, whatever the case may be, wherever I'm at in my life, I know it's because God was working through me by his favor, by his blessings, and ultimately, by his grace. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And Jesus, you're so good. You're so good. Sometimes it's hard to just pause for a moment and just say, Lord, I am alive because you have allowed it. And you have shown favor on me. And if I'm here, then I still have a purpose. And you are my direction. And you are my guide. And you are my light. You are my truth. And Jesus, as I preach your truth, that it would not come across as toxic, but I would also implement grace as to understanding, as forgiveness, as giving it away, not expecting anything in return. That when I see a person's hot mess, that I realize this is a moment that I can point them towards you by giving something to them that you gave to me, even if they don't understand it. We love you and we thank you. Amen and amen. Right? Listen, grace is favor shown to sinners from God. Right? And each of us is a sinner. We really are. And some of us are really good at sinning, okay? And some of us are not. I've seen your Facebooks. No, I'm just totally kidding, right? That's not true, right? Ah, ha, 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 right? But some of us are really great at that, and yet God loves us in the midst of that, right? Favor shown by God to sinners is grace. Hot messes allow us to respond to God, and grace gives us the ability to change. Each one of you, I say this all the time, and some of you still don't believe me, and that's okay because you're coming around. Each and every one of you is called to be a leader in your life, right? Each of you is called to be a leader. Maybe you're not a natural born leader. Maybe you're having to really work on being a leader. But the thing is that God has called you to be more out of his darkness into his marvelous light. He has a plan for you. He wants to give you truth. He wants to give you grace. But it forces us, hello? It forces us to change. Ah, y'all like that. It's all good. We're just church. We're just people. We're a family here. It forces us to change. If you're here today and you're just like, listen, I don't want to change. I'm super comfortable. Listen, the one thing that will stop God's will in its tracks is when you tell God, this is how I've always done it. Okay? God's going to come to you and he's going to say, hey, listen, today's not the last day for you to do the last thing. There's going to be tomorrow. Maybe not promised, but we have to take it as though that maybe it is, right? If you are unwilling to change who you are and draw closer to Jesus and allow him to evolve you and grow, you've been called to grow, you've been called to mature, and this is it. If you can continue to implement grace in your life, you will radically change as a person. And you'll begin to understand that you might have thought you knew what grace was, but maybe you didn't, or more that there's so much more to grace than you ever have given yourself, right? So just be willing that grace, it gives us the ability to change. Change is awesome. How do you know if you have become maybe kind of numb to the gospel of grace? Maybe how do you know if you need grace in your life or you need to implement it? You know you need to give more grace when other people's sin bothers you more than your own. Okay? So when you see a hot mess and their sin bothers you more than the own sin that you're dealing with, then we're still struggling with the concept of grace. And that's what we're all talking about, my hot mess. And so last week we kind of talked about what it means to give grace away. And I think one thing that's really hard, I think sometimes the thing that's harder than giving grace away is actually receiving grace. We like to hold on to our guilt. We like to hold on to our shame because it makes us feel a certain way. And maybe that's something we've always known. And Jesus says that that is not what you were built for, right? There is a very prominent religion in America that has built its entire foundation on guilt and shame. And if you come from that, if all you've ever known is guilt and shame, like, if I don't do this, I'm a bad person. If I don't do this, I'm a bad person. If I don't do this, I can't go to this church. That is not the message or the gospel of Jesus, and it's certainly not grace. So you don't have truth, and you certainly don't have grace in the mix of it. So this may be a brand new concept for you. So I just invite you to just kind of like listen, take notes. I really encourage you to take notes because what Jesus is saying to you today, what the Holy Spirit is whispering in your ears, may not fall on you right now, but it may fall on you Tuesday. It may fall on you Thursday morning. Maybe Friday night, something not that you're not a fan of happens, and some of this grace is going to come back to you. And let me tell you something, grace is a journey. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. It takes time to understand this concept. But we looked last week about how Jesus was implementing grace, the woman at the well. He broke tradition. He broke religion just to speak to her, to talk to her, to bring her in a little bit. Sometimes we get into these messes in our life, and we look at ourselves, and we say, I'm never going to be able to get out of this. Pastor, you don't understand my financial mess. I don't have to know that it is possible. You don't know the mess that I'm in this relationship. You don't know the mess I'm in with my kids. You don't know the mess I'm in. It's so deep in my mess at work right now that like at any given moment, the other hat's just going to drop. Listen, your mess is doable. And Jesus can do it. And here's what I want to give you a thought before we go on to this. Right now, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about your mess. You know what mess you're dealing with right now. And it's you know, maybe it's attractive to a certain degree. Maybe that's just who you are. Maybe a feeling that you get during that mess is kind of what keeps you going, but it keeps you getting a little bit lower, and you just kind of keep digging the hole. Right now, no matter what your mess is, no matter how big it is, how deep it is, how hot it is, I want you to say to Jesus right now in your mind that he's big enough to take care of it. Because we don't always really believe that. We give it to him at the altar on Sunday, but we pick it right back up on Monday. And I want you to take your hot mess, and I want you to decide right now that you're going to use this mess to draw closer to Jesus and not away. I want to repeat that last part. You still have your eyes closed. I want you to take your hot mess. I want you to give it to him right now. Really surrender this mess because it's out of your control because you think it's just too stinking hot. And I want you to intentionally decide that you're going to draw closer to Jesus in this matter and not walk away. My hot mess. I want you to decide that you're going to give it to Jesus today. Okay? Open your eyes. Last week, we talked about giving grace away, right? It's an opportunity for you to respond back to God. You're not just giving. You're not just living out the Great Commission. You're not just loving people. You're not just fulfilling the law. You're actually single-handedly responding with your ministry, with your beliefs, with your testimony. You're responding back to God when you take somebody else's mess and you say, you know what? I'm not going to judge you for that. I'm going to give you some forgiveness out of it. I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to help you along the lines, and I'm not going to charge you for it. And I'm going to tell you about grace, and I'm also going to tell you about truth. I'm going to tell you about truth, which is Jesus, but I'm also going to tell you about grace at the same time. And so that's what we were talking about last week. This week we're going to learn just for a moment on how to receive grace, because receiving forgiveness sometimes, we feel like it's not enough. You think to yourself, you're like, I should just feel more bad about this. Sometimes people have a really hard time being forgiven. You can relate with me a little bit, right? Like, you really dropped the ball. Maybe you're aware of it, and yet somebody just says, hey, listen, I forgive you. And you're just like, I think I need to be more shameful. I think I need to be more guilty for a little bit before I can like just honestly receive this, right? So we're going to learn how to receive grace today. Your wristband says, show some grace today. And I'm praying that this grace today is more for you than anything else. So I want to dive into two very popular, very famous verses today. Okay, so let's dig into this just for a moment. Okay, I want to read this to you because we can all come together on these two verses. But we never ask ourselves, how did we get here? Isn't it important to know how you got somewhere? The whys of what you're doing and where you're doing it? For this is how God loved the world. He gave his only son, his only begotten son, right? He comes down so that everyone who believes in him will not perish and have everlasting life, right? So God gives us his son, right? Because you can give something to somebody without loving them, but if you honestly and genuinely love something, you're going to find yourself giving to that thing, believing in that thing, supporting that thing. Then we follow up, right? There's the truth part of it. There's the truth part of it. Jesus is the truth. Then we get the grace part of this verse, right? God sent his son into the world, not to judge it, right? He's going to cross a barrier. He's going to cross the aisle. He's going to extend something called grace, right? He didn't come in here to judge the world, but to save it through him. Have you ever asked yourself, what prompted these two verses? Like, why now? Like, obviously, Jesus must be, I mean, this must be like a Billy Graham crusade when giving these two verses. I mean, these are the verses that changed the course of history. Is he in a stadium sharing these verses? He's not. That's kind of odd, right? I really miss Billy Graham, by the way, but I'm so happy he's home with the Lord, right? But maybe it's a smaller crowd. Maybe he's out with his apostles, and he's got his disciples around there. He's got a bunch of believers. Maybe he's at a church, or maybe he's on the circuit, and he got booked. Jesus got booked in a church that day, and he's given this. He's not. It's not a crazy sermon. It's not at a big church. It's not at a big stadium. Where is he? And this is what's so cool is that once again, we see that a relationship, a conversation, being intentional makes the difference in the world, and that's where these two verses come from, right? Let me give you a little bit of a background story here. We're gonna be looking at a John 3, right? At the New Living Translation, John 3, 1 through 2. That's where we're going to start. It says, there was a man named Nicodemus, and he was a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. And after dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Now, let me tell you something about, right, this is a man who is a hot mess, who's beginning to realize just a little bit that maybe he is a hot mess, right? Jewish, pastors, ministers, religious leaders at the time, I don't want to say pastors and priests are very different things right now, right? But at the time, this is like who you would go to if you needed like information about like the law and religious and what the Old Testament says. But these men that were religious leaders were corrupt people. Right, they made their money off sex trafficking, off slavery. These were the men who were like pushing out the law and saying all the things that you should and shouldn't do. But they were filthy rich, all on the hard earned backs of people, you know, through taxes and stuff like that. This is somebody you should never ever mirror your life after, right? And so this man begins in his own time, says, "Maybe I'm a bit of a hot mess. Maybe I've got a thing going on, and I think I want to talk to somebody who may understand what's going on." So you have Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee. We know through context that he's in the top four wealthiest men in the entire land. And he is still searching for answers because he didn't understand the concept of grace. Okay, now, so here's the first thing. There's two thoughts I want to leave you with today, right? Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. And I think we've always been kind of quick to assume that he came in the cover of night because he was scared that what his other Pharisees' friends might say. That might be a legitimate fact. That may be true. We don't entirely know. But I would like to know, I would like to share with you what theologians, they've put like four to five different ideas on maybe why Jesus or why Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, right? So just to let you know that no matter where you are in your life with your hot mess, there's no matter what excuse or reason we may have, sometimes we look for Jesus in the cover of night. And that's what I want you to write down. Sometimes we look for grace at night. And we'll talk about the whole idea, the concept of like, we don't ever, sometimes we struggle with looking for grace in the open with our friends and our family. Sometimes we're scared to change and implement grace because it's going to make us change who we are. It will. Listen, if you're not utilizing grace and you don't quite understand it and you start to understand it and you start to utilize it, I just want you to know you're going to drastically change. It's inevitable and it's okay. It's for the best, right? So here's the first reason why we don't think maybe Nicodemus and Jesus were able to like have coffee during the day. Maybe he couldn't get FaceTime. That day, particularly the last 48 hours, Jesus had been preaching to thousands of people, right? And there's a good chance that like Nicodemus just could not get a meet and greet, okay? And so that's the first thing. He himself might have had religious temple obligations, right? Maybe sometimes you have a lot of obligations. Maybe your schedule is super busy. Maybe your calendar is just like off the chart. Maybe you can't seem to get or do what you want for whatever reason, right? Same kind of reasons maybe why he wasn't able to meet Jesus. And then we have the famous reason as, you know, why maybe he didn't want to meet with Jesus in the daytime. Maybe he was a Pharisee. Maybe he's just like, listen, I've got questions. I'm questioning everything that I am. I'm questioning my job. I'm questioning my friends. I'm questioning my family. I'm questioning what I believe. Maybe you've grown up believing a certain thing that the Bible doesn't say. And it's just an idea, or it's a thought, or it's a concept, and you've just always heard mom and dad say it. You've always heard the church say it, but you never, like, investigated it. You never did a journalistic investigation about, like, where that came from and why that is. And you're just like, does the Bible really say that? Here's the thing. So sometimes, for whatever reason today you think that maybe you don't know what grace is or how to implement grace or the concept of grace, I want you to know, just go ahead and put that aside. For whatever reason, sometimes we confuse excuses with reasons. Oh, I have a reason. You really don't. You just have a self-opinionated excuse that you've compromised and you justify to make yourself feel okay about it. And, well, they did this to me. That's why grace is kind of a hard thing. They did it to you. They wronged you straight up. Like, you felt terrible when it was all done. And yet at the same time, Jesus says, but this is what I'm trying to preach. This is what I'm trying to teach my people, right? Also, maybe why Nicodemus and Jesus didn't hook up. Jesus was a peasant. He was a peasant. Jesus probably smelled bad. And Nicodemus probably had it all together. He had the latest kicks and the nice shoes and the nice suits. And he had the nice garments. And he probably smelled amazing. Like, there's just so many reasons why. Whatever you think is keeping you from implementing grace today in your life, go ahead and even if you say it's a reason, maybe we should just mark it as an excuse. Because it's not going to be a good enough reason to overcompensate for what Jesus is saying here, right? So regardless of your mess, you still search for truth. You still search for grace. Grace can only be found in Jesus. You need to know that. And grace can only be found in Jesus, the Messiah. I want to read this next verse. And this is where it kind of gets a little interesting. And this is, we're beginning to get into a little theology here, okay? Nicodemus comes to Jesus in night. And he's asking about, like, listen, he's like, you're an outlaw. And you're saying things that we're not understanding, but it seems to be a little true from what I can gather. So I want to ask you some questions about the message you're teaching. So here he is. He's opening himself up. He's being a little bit vulnerable. It does say that Nicodemus and Jesus, for the most part, like depending on what translation you read, was more or less one-on-one. There's a couple of words in these verses that almost kind of give the appearance that maybe Nicodemus still brought like, you know, two or three people, you know, just in case if he needed to go to the bathroom, maybe one of his friends would go with him kind of thing. I'm just kidding on that whole bathroom thing, right? But here's the thing. So let's read this verse. This is what he says. He says, Rabbi, right? He acknowledges the fact that Jesus is kind of like somewhat got some superiorness here. He says, we all know. All right, we all know. We get it. We're watching. We're listening. We're hearing. We all know that God has sent you to teach us. Wow. That's a lot. He's really humbling himself here. Right? Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And at first glance, reading that verse, you're kind of like, cool. You know, he's like, he's understanding a little bit. And sometimes we do a prayer like this. And this is where I want to let you know that even though if our prayers are this encouraging, there's still something wrong with this. And I want to point this out. Sometimes you say, you know, like, God, you know, I really do trust you, and I really do believe you're the Messiah, and I really do, you know, want to follow you. But that's not what Nicodemus says here. He says, we all know that God sent you to teach us. Okay, so I acknowledge that you're a little bit more than us. You've clearly got some miracles that you're doing. This must be evidence that God is with you. And so he goes on to tell Nicodemus, he's just like, listen, if you want life, you want to be in heaven forever, you got to be born again. And they have this conversation. He's just like, silly, that's crazy. Like, how am I going to crawl back into mom and then come back out of the, and Jesus is like, no, you're missing the point. Here's the thing. Not once does Nicodemus show in any regard in this verse that he believes Jesus is bigger than his mess. It sounds nice. Hey, I all know that God sent you. I know, God, that you might put things in my life to fix it. I know that you're doing some good things in other people's lives. And I know that, you know, you're spiritual and you have all these powers. But what Nicodemus is not saying is that, Jesus, you're the Messiah. And you're the Lord of Lords. And you are all powerful. And you can fix my life. Sometimes we go all the way up to the wall in our relationship with the Lord. And we say, I know you want to do really cool things. Clearly you have, you know, you have signs. Clearly you have miracles. Clearly you can do these things. But sometimes we fail to get through the wall because we really, at the end of the day, don't believe that Jesus will pick up our mess and clean it up. We really don't believe that Jesus is powerful enough to do it because the odds, in our opinion, are stacked against us. So he goes on to tell him how he's been born. This next part, this next verse, is like the core meat for today. So if you kind of zoned out, come right back in for a couple more moments before we finish up here. Here it is, right? Put yourself in Nicodemus' spot for a second. Maybe today you're just like, I am a believer. I know Jesus. Awesome. This person thought he was a religious believer to a certain extent as well. And this is what he says. Jesus, the things that you're saying to me, they don't make sense. And he says, how are these things possible? How can you really clean up my mess? How you tell me to trust you. So I kind of do. And you introduce this solution. How is that really going to help me? See, right there, that's the issue. We really just don't believe that Jesus can take care of us. We really honestly don't believe. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied. Now, I'm going to change some words here because you got the verse right. So I'm going to change the words here. Maybe this speaks to you a little bit more. You're a respected church-going person. You've been believing this for a long time. You know that I am Jesus. And yet you still don't understand that your mess is not bigger than me. It's not hotter than me. Your dysfunction, I can still take care of. I know it's attractive to you. I know it makes you feel this way. And yet, when I come to you, you still say, how are these things possible? But yet you say you're a believer. And you don't understand. You don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, right? Based on the testimony, based on the things that God has done in your life. He's shown you favor. He's shown you blessings. He's gotten you this far in the game of life. And you're still doing things, and yet we still come to church. We still go out to work on Mondays. We still come wherever we are, and we still question the authority and the almighty power if Jesus really has it to fix. You come home from a devastating situation, and what do you say? You throw up your hands. You say, I just don't know how this is going to work. Yeah. Maybe you don't, but that's why we serve Jesus. That's why you don't serve me. That's why you don't praise the person to the right of you. That's why knowing when you come to church that there's going to be a time where church is going to let you down. And we're so sorry about that. Your best friend is going to let you down. Your parents are going to let you down. Your kids are right now next door letting you down. And that's why you don't say, oh, sweet Ryan, I love you. No. You say, oh, sweet Jesus, you're good. Because you're the only one that's never going to let me down. I draw close to you. Here I am again. Right? We picked these songs this week because it's all about drawing closer. We run out of that grave into his glorious day. He provides that. But sometimes we just don't really remember or we don't truly believe in our hearts that at the end of the day, he can do what he says. And this is what's happening here. Nicodemus, and this is all wrapped in the idea of grace. Jesus does these things for us. He gives us his favor. He gives us his blessing because he just simply loves us. And it's hard to understand that. It's hard to receive that grace because we don't always just understand why he does that. You don't have to understand. You just have to continue to believe that he's going to continue to do it. And that's the conversation we're having here. You're a respected believer, you're a respected pastor, you're a respected person at your work, you're a respected person with your friends, you're a respected person with your family, your kids look up to you, and yet you still don't know these things. I'm telling you that based on the testimony of all the things I've ever done in your life, You wouldn't believe it even if I told you. And if you don't believe me that I can fix your earthly problems, if I can give you solution to your earthly problems, you will have no idea about heavenly thoughts that I want to put in your head and your heart. That's why grace is so hard to accept sometimes, because we don't believe that he can fix our earthly things or give us solutions with our earthly things. So when he drops the grace bomb on us, we're kind of like, what is that? Why would you do that? If somebody comes up and gives you a $100 bill, what do you do? You're like, thank you? What do I need to do for you in return? Nothing, man. I just love you. You love me. And now you're paying me. You're giving me. What's the catch? No catch. There's no catch. That's grace. Right? You can give a gift without loving somebody, but if you really love something, you're going to be generous. And I really challenge you this year, right? If you really say that you love Jesus, I'm not going to guilt trip you on this. If you really say that you love Jesus and you're trying to draw close and you're trying to understand him, you will have no choice but to turn into a generous person. You won't be able to fight it. You won't be able to break it. You will just naturally begin to change into a generous person. If you really love the local church, then love it. And be generous in your giving. Well, it's not about money. Who says anything about money right now? That's between you and the Holy Spirit. What about your time? What about your testimony? Your ability to love people in this church? Your ability to love people in the community? If you really love what the local church is doing, then love it and be generous. And sometimes we don't do that because we really don't love Jesus. And I hate to say that. Well, Ryan, should I pray more? That's between you and God. If you want to pray more, you pray more. Should I read the Bible more? If you want to read the Bible more, read the Bible more. But remember, this is a relationship. Don't do things out of obligation. God loves a giving heart, a generous heart, a happy heart. How is this possible? How can Jesus really resolve this mess? Sometimes that's hard to receive a gift, to receive grace like that. Why did Jesus allow that to happen? Because he just loves you, man. He just digs you. He's into you. He loves you. He likes you. Whew. There's a difference, right? You can love someone. You can totally dislike them. But he likes you today, and he loves you. It's hard for us to understand grace, but if we don't understand that he can address our hot messes here, it's going to be very hard to understand the concept of grace. So let him work on you. Let him change you. Let him develop you. Let him grow you. Most importantly, let him mature you as a believer. And as you mature, you'll draw closer to him and understand a little bit more, and you'll begin to understand the concept of grace. Draw closer to Jesus today. If you don't understand who Jesus is, that's okay. Keep going. If you have to keep meeting with Jesus at night, because that's where you're comfortable for a moment, but you know it's got to be in the daytime, keep meeting with him. We're not asking you to leave these doors today and just be this totally different person. It's not. Heavenly things take time to grow, right? Because I know, and I know at the end of the day, we want to drive up to the solution station and say, I'm low on solutions. I want to pay hardly any money. I need it to be convenient. I need it to be on time. It needs to be obvious. I need a big sign that says, pull up here. I want to put it in my car, bloop, 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 shh, be done, and drive off. I need a quick fix. I need AAA. I need an express meal through a drive-thru, and I don't want it to make me fat at the end of the day. Right? We want all the easy, quick fixes. And God says, that's not grace at all. Grace is going to take time. Grace is a solution. It's a heavenly solution. And those things are a process, because in the process, you draw closer to Jesus. This is really cool. A lot of the times when you hear about Nicodemus, we say that the story just ends here. And he walks away, right? He walks away. Not the case. Something began to stir in Nicodemus. We see him two more times in the book of John. And you can see every time he comes around, he's different. Because after that initial moment with Jesus, he said, this is my hot mess. I do not understand the concept, but I'm going to continue to draw closer to this man because he clearly knows what he's talking about. I don't understand that he's the Messiah, but I know that God sent him here. And I know that he's doing miraculous things. And I know that the evidence of God is with him. So no matter where you are today, maybe you're here and you're just like, dude, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in it. Practically, draw closer, because grace is going to change you, and you're going to begin to say, where does grace come from? And it will lead you to the truth, which is Jesus at the end of the day. We see, right, Nicodemus's journey begins here. We see him. We see him. He's attracted to Jesus and the idea of grace in John 3. Then, right, then as Jesus is beginning to get some heat for being the Messiah, he joins Jesus' side when the protesting starts, when they begin to condemn Jesus. In John 7, verse 50, you see him show up again. He's just like, hey, hold on. I think there's more to this than what you're giving him. I know you don't understand what he's saying, but there's something here. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you don't quite get it, but you're just like, maybe there's something here. Maybe this idea of grace will change me and draw me closer to resolving my hot mess. Then he brings gifts and spices to the anointed body of Christ and stands for Christ at the crucifixion, at the end in John 19. We see a man's journey begin in 3, and we don't hear from him after 19 because, Jesus ends up dying for us. He ends up being our substitute. A journey began. You may be thinking, you know what, I need a solution right now. Well, let me tell you something as we're kind of concluding here. Jesus is more concerned about your character than your comfort, okay? And because we're talking about a heavenly idea and not an earthly idea, this is going to take some process. This is going to take some time. When you draw closer to Jesus and you begin to experience his grace, you will undoubtedly begin to change. You will change and you'll begin to mature. And you will be realizing and understanding a little bit more about what grace is. Even though this is the second point, it's just more of a fleeting thought, but it's the most powerful thought of the entire service. And it's this: what do I do today to start understanding grace more effectively? Not only just to give it and to respond, but maybe receiving it. How do I receive it like Nicodemus? And all the things that are going on in my life, no matter how hot they are and how problematic they are and how I don't see a solution, just follow Jesus. Just start right there. Just say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to draw closer to you. Ben, would you join me? You have to follow the light to get out of your dark, hot mess. Did you hear that? You have to follow the only thing that's undeniably true, the only thing that is undeniably will never let you down, and that is Jesus the Messiah. I want to leave you with these verses. John 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light. I want you to think about that just for a second. This is my mess. This is my earthly mess. I was looking for a quick fix, but I realized that maybe that's just not coming right now. Maybe God has something more. Maybe God has something bigger. Maybe God wants to mature me. And that's why in the beginning of this teaching we said, no matter what problem you have, choose today to draw closer. Use your hot mess. Use your experience to draw you closer to Jesus instead of running away, because it's easier. Running away, what does that look like? It's not that you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to say, I don't want Jesus. Running away means I can fix this on my own. I can fix this with my earthly solutions. I can fix this with my finances. I can fix this with my friends. And in the meantime, when I don't get what I want, I'll just criticize everybody and everything until I get it, until I shame people into helping me, until I guilt trip people into helping me. And Jesus says, no. That's not grace. You're going to get nowhere with that. You're not going to get anywhere with it because you don't even understand what you think you're withholding from them. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in your mess.